بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا أنزلناه في ليلة القدر وما أدراك ما ليلة القدر. صدق الله العظيم. Respected friends and elders, it's a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed us once again to witness this part of the most auspicious month of Ramadan. This last batch of 10 nights in the month of Ramadan are the most auspicious of nights. And this is considered actually the highlight of the entire month of Ramadan. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before the month of Ramadan even commenced, and the last day of Sha'ban, he addressed the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, and he introduced the month of Ramadan to the Sahaba. He spoke about Ramadan, and he said, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, qad adallakum shahrun azeemun. A very great month has dawned upon you all. That was the first sentence. The second sentence, Shahrun Mubarakun. It is a blessed month, a month full of barakah. And the third sentence, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave this lengthy speech, it's quite a long hadith. But right at the beginning, when discussing the month of Ramadan, the third sentence Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam utters is Fihi Laylatun Khayrun Min Alfi Shahr. In this month, there is a night that is better than 1,000 months. Before Ramadan even started, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drew attention of Sahaba radiyallahu anhum that this month is coming, there's a lot of other greatness, a lot of other barakah in the month, but the highlight of this month is, it is the bearer of that one night that is better than 1,000 months. Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahr, Quran says. One person put it very nicely recently, he says one night, maybe 12 hours. For us here, alhamdulillah, it's about 12 hours, Sari and Iftar time. So one night spent in ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not equal to but better than more than 700,000 hours. In other words, close to 1,000,000 hours of ibadah thawab. Where do you get this kind of return? Which investment can offer you such a return that you give 12 rand and you get 700,000 rand and more in return? This is the grace and fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a khususiyat and a speciality that Allah blessed on the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was through the barakat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah gave us this night. The ummats of the past, the previous nations, they lived lengthy lives. Some of them lived for 300 years, some for 400 years, some more, some less. It is mentioned regarding the Qawmi Aad and Qawmi Thamud, the earlier nations in the dunya, that they used to only mature at the age of 100. When they reach the age of 100, then he's no more a child. In other words, if somebody died at the age of 90, they would have said, shame, the poor child died. 90-year-old child. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was one day pondering over this, that the people of the past were able to make ibadah of Allah for so long. So many years, hundreds of years of thawab in ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But my ummah, the average lifespan of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like has come in a hadith, is 60 to 70 years. So how is it that my ummah will now lag behind? They will not be able to achieve those lofty ranks that the previous nations had, because they had the opportunity of living longer, thereby making more ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So based on this fikr, worry and concern of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one narration in Muwatta Imam Malik mentions, this was one reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gave the ummah Laylatul Qadr being khayrun min alfi shahr. That this one night, ibadah on this night is better than 1,000 months. Better than 83 years and 4 months of ibadah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, it could be any one of the odd nights of the last 10 nights. Yes, generally people feel it's on the 27th of Ramadan. And many ulama of the past also experienced that the 27th of Ramadan was, and they felt strongly it was the night of Qadr. But it is not set in stone.
And that is not confirmed that every year it is on the 27th. No, respected friends and allies. It could be on any one of the five odd nights of the last nights of Ramadan. Either tonight, or Tuesday night, or Thursday night, or the 27th Saturday night, or the 29th next week Monday night. Any one of these nights, any one of these nights can be Laylatul Qadr. In fact, on one occasion, in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Laylatul Qadr fell on the 21st night. Tonight is the 21st night. It could be tonight, it could be any one of these nights. But this is a great occasion, respected friends and elders, and a favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A favor of Allah in two ways. Number one, that Allah gave us life, Allah gave us health. And alhamdulillah, we are aware that it is the month of Ramadan, and tonight could be Laylatul Qadr. And secondly, we have availed ourselves. We are aware and conscious. We have come to the masjid. Inshallah, going back home, we'll engage in ibadah. We are conscious. This is the barakat of the effort of deen that takes place in our communities. It is the barakat of the sacrifice of ulama and those who make effort for deen, that this realization is there in our communities. Respected friends and elders, there are many other Muslims in the world. Many Muslims. Today, mashallah, people travel all the time. People are traveling now more than ever before. So go out in the world and see. Many places, Muslims are there. The month of Ramadan has come. But they are completely negligent, completely oblivious to the fact that it is Ramadan. Many, many Muslims don't get tawfiq to fast in this month. Many of them don't get tawfiq to stand up in ibadah at night or in the taraweeh salah. And many don't get tawfiq even on a night of Laylatul Qadr or any one of the odd nights of Ramadan. They still didn't get tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to turn to Allah, whether it be in the masjid or in their homes, privately or in the masjid. Many are deprived of this tawfiq. This is a great ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the fact that we alhamdulillah are away and have availed ourselves. It's a sign of our iman, respected friends and allies. But to make it brief, I don't want to go too much into the detail of the night of Laylatul Qadr. It is the greatest night of the year. The essence and summary is the most Mubarak night and the greatest night of the entire Islamic calendar is the night of Laylatul Qadr. But that will only make a difference to us, respected friends and elders, when we value that night. When we conduct ourselves on that night like we ought to conduct. That night and other nights should not be the same. It is the best night of the year. It only comes once a year. Could be any one of these five odd nights. So in other words, only five nights of the year, we need to exert ourselves. We need to make that adjustment. We need to make that sacrifice. And inshallah, for the rest of the year, days and nights will come. For the rest of the year, man can maybe engage in other jaiz activities. But these nights, these five nights, respected friends, and Allah should be different. It can't be like a normal night. Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha says, the habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, that when the last 10 nights of Ramadan would commence, then shadd al-mi'zar, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would tie, so to say, his belt, tie his izar and his lungi tight. This is a form of expression to explain that he would prepare himself to exert himself. He would prepare for exertion, for mujahada, to stay awake in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in ibadah. وَأَيْقَضَ أَهْلَهُ And he is to also wake up his family. He is to make sure that the women in the homes, his wives and those in the homes also spend that night in ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Generally, if you look in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we study the ahadith where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's tahajjud and his qiyamul layl, his salatul layl is described during the year. Then we find that the sahaba explain, as an Aisha gives descriptions also, but there's no mention of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waking his family up and so to say forcing them and coercing them towards standing up for tahajjud. He would advise definitely. But physically waking them up for tahajjud salat, they hardly find that mention. But for the last 10 nights of Ramadan, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would ensure everybody must be awake in the homes. وَأَيْقَضَ أَهْلَهُ The riwayat of Bukhari Sharif, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha says, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would read tahajjud, two rakats, then another two rakats, sometimes in sets of four. And then at the end, when it was time for witr, then he used to wake me up, so that I may also read my witr. That was the norm. But on the last 10 nights of Ramadan, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would ensure they all would remain awake in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we too, respected friends and elders, we as males, alhamdulillah, we have the opportunity of coming to the masjid, we have the opportunity of attending the lessons of ulama, lectures, bayans and talks, more so than the women folk at home. When we go back home, it should be going back and taking the light and nur from the masjid, from the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, take it back home and create an environment in the home. It's not that Islam is a deen, you know, that is momental and temporary, na'uzu billah. No, we are Muslims all the time. It's not that you do ibadah of Allah only in the house of Allah, or only for certain moments of time. No, respected friends and elders. It's a 24 hour cycle. We are Muslims all the time. So when we go back into the home, then this environment in the home should also be created. We also need to be encouraging our wives and children and daughters in the homes that spend this night in ibadah. Sit with them, make some ta'aleem, open the fazail Ramadan, open to the section of the night of Qadr, make some ta'aleem. Read the words of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This generates enthusiasm and shauq in the people. And in those who attend the ta'aleem. Then inshallah encourage them to spend the night in ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just as a small suggestion, respected friends and elders, generally in deen, there is nothing that is prescribed. On the night of Qadr, on Mubarak nights, on blessed nights, yes, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when asked by Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha, O Nabi of Allah, if we get the night of Qadr, what should we do? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave her one jawab, one simple answer. O Aisha, recite this dua. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. O Allah, you are most forgiving. You love to forgive, so forgive me. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. That is all Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prescribed. In other words, the message here is that the greatest thing you can achieve on a night like tonight is your forgiveness, is your maghfirat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If on Laylatul Qadr also, a person is not forgiven by Allah, he didn't get his maghfirat and didn't get his sins forgiven, then when else will he get his sins forgiven? Yes, Allah is prepared to forgive all the time. But the question is, if a man can't turn to Allah on a Mubarak night like this, then what other occasion is a person waiting for? So generally in Sharia there is no hard and fast. Yes, we are taught to make tawbah. And this is the most important amal for tonight. Recite this dua, make tawbah to Allah, read 2 rakat salatul tawbah. Make tawbah and repent in your own language, in your own words. But get your sins forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shed the tears of regret over the sins that we commit, respected friends and elders. But generally people like to also engage in other forms of ibadah, whatever a person is comfortable with. There are some people who, mashallah, it's easy for them to read Quran, one surah after another, one juz and one para after another. Alhamdulillah. Some people it's easy for them to engage in dhikrullah. Mashallah, let them spend their time in the dhikr of Allah, durood sharif. Some people in nafil salat, some people in dua. The ideal, respected friends and elders, is for us to take a share in every one of these forms of ibadah. Salat, nafil salat also, dhikrullah also, tilawat of Quran as well, dua as well, etc. So as a suggestion, respected friends and elders, a suggested format for ibadah on nights like tonight is, number one, firstly we should understand that the night starts from Maghrib salah, not from Isha or after Taraweeh or even Seri time. No, the night, the auspiciousness is from the time you make iftar, and now the night has set in. If tonight was Laylatul Qadr, then Laylatul Qadr started that time. So our ibadah and our dhikr of Allah and ibadat can start from that time. Don't wait only for Seri time, or don't wait only for after Taraweeh. The hadith of Muslim Sharif mentions that person who reads his Isha Salat in Jama'at and he reads his Fajr Salat in Jama'at, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward him as if he spent the entire night in ibadah. So bare minimum for someone, bare minimum. He said, let's ensure we read these two. All our salat should be offered with jama'at. But especially these two salat, and especially on a night like tonight. Your Isha salat in jama'at, your Fajr salat in jama'at. Inshallah you get the reward of spending this entire night in ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For those who are weak, for those who are unable, for whatever reason we are unable to exert ourselves physically in ibadah, then this is a simple prescription. Read the two salats with jama'at, inshallah, and get the reward. Secondly, we should abstain from sin, respected friends and elders. Abstaining from sin is absolutely crucial. It's no use getting the reward of ibadah when you are still engaged in disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't fill the bucket when there's a hole in the bucket. So the same here, we can't be expecting reward and forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when on the other hand we are spending our nights in the disobedience of Allah. This car needs to be removed, please. A BMW X3, registration NKR36732. It's blocking another car. Please remove the car. So if we can't exert ourselves in additional ibadah, respected friends and elders, then let us at least abstain from sin. Abstinence from sin, we understand, for example, don't engage in zina, don't engage in, or don't consume alcohol, don't go out to the clubs, for example. That these are sins that are commonly understood, and we identify these as sins, and we know we ought to be abstaining. But respected friends and elders, that device that we have in the pockets, the device we have on the, in the pockets, the screens we have on our walls in the homes, these are also tools for sin and disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On one hand, the phone is used for our necessities, yes. But on many occasions, it is used for the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it be in the form of music, sometimes it's a clip you are looking at, and there's music, sometimes it's pictures, sometimes looking at na-mahram, looking at the opposite gender, which is haram for us. Sometimes communicating with people for whom it is haram, listening to haram, looking at haram. This tool that is there, respected friends and elders, this instrument in the pocket that we have, this is something that is like slippery stone. Very easily a person can be led on to haram. On nights like tonight, we shouldn't even look at the phone. On nights like tonight, you need to set an alarm, use some other alarm clock, better. Don't even look at your cell phone, don't even look at your smartphone, don't. And if a person had to use the phone, then don't go into those apps. Don't go into social media. Don't go into your internet browser. If it was for some reason you had to answer the call or make a call, use it for that and leave it, respected friends and elders. This is a very, very important night. We can't risk it. We can't risk that we innocently sometimes are led on. You open, how many times didn't we pick up our phones, respected friends and elders, with the intention of phoning someone? But when we picked up the phone, we saw all the notifications. So we went into one and we read one message, another, and then we forgot the reason why we picked up the phone also. That's how we get led on. And in this manner, sometimes we are led on into wrong and haram. So let us leave that device completely, lock it up and put it away in the drawer. Spend this night away from sin, as far away as sin as possible. Obviously, this should be the condition of a believer all the time, shunning sin and making provisions to abstain from sin. Thirdly, respected friends and elders, when we go to sleep, then let us sleep in the state of wudu. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu mentioned, several Sahaba have mentioned, that that person who sleeps in the state of wudu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives permission to his ruh, his soul, to make sajda under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever we sleep, respected friends and elders, then a part of the ruh separates from the body. Not fully. When a man dies, then his complete soul is taken away. But when he goes to sleep, sleep is referred to as the brother of death. An-nawmu akhul maut comes in the hadith. It's also one form of death. It's a reminder of death as well. When we go to sleep, it's actually a preparation for death. That's a separate topic. But anyway, when we sleep, then a portion, a part of our soul is removed. And it's taken by the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those that slept in the condition of tahara, those that slept in the condition of purity after making wudu, then permission is granted for those souls to make sajda under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those that never slept in the state of tahara, wudu or ghusl if they needed, then their souls remain there, but they are not given permission to make sajda under the arsh of Allah. Now imagine, we are sleeping on our beds, maybe snoring away also, disturbing the person next to us. The wife is waking us up that you're snoring. But whilst we are like that, sleeping in a deep sleep and maybe dreaming and sweet dreaming, our souls are making sajda under the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a great sharaf, what a great honor Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affords that person who does the simple sunnah of going to bed in the state of wudu. This should also be our habit every night, like is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But on a night like tonight, respected friends and elders, like I said, if a person is weak and we can't exert ourselves in additional ibadah, then at least do this. Read our Isha and Fajr Salat in Jamaat. Abstain from sin completely on this night. Go to bed in the state of wudu. Go to bed in the state of wudu. And respected friends and elders, part of the bare minimum is for us to recite the dua and make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. Besides this, respected friends and Allah, if a man has got time, he's got the ability, then yes, we should engage in nafil ibadat, nafil salat, read a few juz of Quran, make dhikr of Allah, recite tasbih, whether it be la ilaha illallah, for example, 100 times. Allah, Allah, taking the name of Allah 100 times. The third kalima, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, Allah, 100 times. Recite durood sharif 100 times. A famous dhikr that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has prescribed. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that this is the last hadith in Bukhari sharif. Kalimatani habibatani ila ar-Rahman. Two statements that are most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khafifatani ala al-lisan. They are light on the tongue, meaning very easy to pronounce. See how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is encouraging. He mentions incentives. Firstly, before telling us what is the dhikr, he says, I'm going to tell you such a dhikr that is firstly beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, it is simple and easy to recite. And number three, thaqilatani fil mizan. On the day of qiyamah, when the deeds will be weighed, the scales of deeds will be opened up and our deeds will be placed on the scales. Then this dhikr, this recital, these two sentences will be thaqil, will be heavy. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recites those two sentences, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Simple recital. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. One hadith mentioned in Bukhari Sharif, a person who reads this dhikr 100 times, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all his sins, even if they equal the foam of the ocean. No matter how much of sin you have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive. Spend this night also in dua if we can, respected friends and Allahs. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and beg for our needs. Who doesn't have a need? Every one of us are full of needs. We are completely needy. Tonight in the tilawat, in the taraweeh, the ayat was recited, Ya ayyuhan nasu antumul fuqara'u ila Allah. O mankind, you are in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need Allah for every minute thing. To be able to blink your eyes also, respected friends and Allahs, we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need Allah at every moment and every second in our lives. And we have so many needs. Firstly, respected friends and Allahs, make dua for your spiritual needs. Make dua for your needs of your deen, the needs for the akhirat, and then make dua for the needs of dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us this lesson. Allah first speaks about akhirat. وَابْتَغِ فِيمَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ Then وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. After asking for akhirah, after seeking your akhirat, then you look after your dunya. Then you seek your world, get your world in order, your worldly life in order. Unfortunately today we have it the other way around, that we want to be set in life. You know, we want to be able to retire and then maybe we'll spend time in the masjid. Then maybe we'll give time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dunya never gets set. You are not here to be set. We are here to leave, respected friends and others. It's a temporary abode. So the first thing, priority is for akhirat. So in our du'as also, make du'a for our akhirat and our spiritual needs. In addition to tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make du'a for your worldly needs. Make du'a for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that is suffering in so many corners of the globe, respected faith and Allah. It is a great favor of Allah that we are living here in peace. We have afiyat and security. To a great extent, alhamdulillah, we are so much better off than so many other Muslims. Millions of Muslims elsewhere in the dunya. We are here, 2 to 3 million Muslims in this country, respected friends and elders. But alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, the opportunity Allah has given us, the safety Allah has given us, the environment of deen Allah has given us. Millions of Muslims throughout the dunya don't have this. This is a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us at least resonate with those people. Let us at least think of them in our du'as. Make du'a for them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remove their evil conditions and difficult conditions. And Allah save us where we are. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to increase in our deen. And lastly, respected friends and elders, whenever the topic is discussed of forgiveness of sins, whenever it is a mubarak occasion, like Laylatul Qadr, or like the 15th of Sha'ban, Shab-e Barat like we call it, or any other mubarak occasion, respected friends and elders, there is always, you will find in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one category of people that are excluded. One category of people that are actually deprived on nights like tonight. And those are people who harbor ill feelings in their heart for their fellow Muslim brothers. Those are people who can't see eye to eye. They are at loggerheads. They have locked horns, so to say. And they've got ill feelings, jealousy, malice, hatred in the heart. Daggers, like we say, in the heart for his fellow Muslim brother. He can't see him progressing. Or he's got some kind of a disagreement and argument, and now he's not making salam to him. Not speaking to him, has cut off ties. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, leave them. Leave them, they will not be forgiven until they don't make up within themselves. And until they don't mend their relationships. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not prepared to forgive people like that. In other words, on a night like tonight, some of us may be engaging in ibadat of Allah, dua, begging Allah for forgiveness. We may spend the entire night in ibadah. Inshallah, the reward for that, inshallah, will be in the court of Allah. But will we be forgiven? Will we get the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Will we truly benefit from the barakat and the peace? Salamun hiya hatta matla'il fajr. Allah describes the night as a night of peace. Will we really get that salamati and that barakat, etc.? No, respected friends and elders. We will be deprived if we have ill feelings in the heart. If we are guilty of the sin, which is a major sin. Major sin, to cut off ties with your fellow Muslim brother, is a major sin. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا يحل لمسلم أن يهجر أخاه فوق ثلاث. Not permissible for a Muslim to cut off ties. Like not making salam. Like being angry with him. Being cut up, like we say. Being put off. For more than three days, not permissible. Here we understand Shariat has taken our feelings into consideration. We are bound to have this disagreement. If you have a disagreement, you are feeling hurt, then you have 3 days to make peace with yourself. 3 days to come to terms with the situation. After that, you have to maintain ties with this brother. Make salam with him and continue. Yes, you can still claim your haq. The man owes you money, you can still claim your money. The person hurt your feelings, you can still ask him. He needs to ask you for forgiveness. But that doesn't warrant you having ill feelings in the heart. These are two separate issues. You can still claim your right for however long it may drag on. Obviously the idea is, if it is within our ability to forgive the man, it's better to forgive. But if a person wants to claim his right, then you have the right to take your right. But we have no right to harbor ill feelings in the heart. وَمَنْ هَجَرَ أَخَاهُ فَوْقَ ثَلَاثٍ فَمَاتَ دَخَلَ النَّارِ. The hadith says, that person who shuns his Muslim brother for more than 3 days and he dies in this condition, the hadith says he goes into the fire of Jahannam. This is a sign that this is a major sin. How serious, respected friends and elders. We understand that zina and fornication is a major sin. We understand alcohol is a major sin. We understand leaving out salat is a major sin. And we take it seriously. But do we really take this sin as a major sin? Imagine if somebody was in some community where in every corner there were people who were alcoholics. How sad, how bad, how much pity won't we take on that community? That's so much of wrong, so much of vice taking place. Respected friends and elders, I ask you this question, that this sin that we are speaking about, ill feeling and malice in the heart, how common is in this one? There's hardly a community, nay, hardly a street, no, hardly a home. And Allah save me, Allah forgive me if I'm wrong, but sometimes hardly an individual. Hardly a person, an individual who's got a clean heart. Hardly any person in the home also who doesn't have some kind of ill feelings for somebody. He's got some kind of jealousy, not talking to someone, cut off ties with somebody else. And so many a times it's within our own family. Brother can't see eye to eye with brother sometimes. You are not even allowed to cut off ties with a fellow Muslim. Here sometimes your own blood brother. And we have cut off ties, respected friends and elders. Imagine how serious the situation is. So much of this sin has become so rampant and so widespread in our society. And I want to share with you one experience that I had now in the beginning of the month of Ramadan. I had the opportunity of visiting some Syrian refugees. And we were going to the different homes. And some of them were widowed homes, some of them were elderly, some of them were injured. So there was one home, there was a very elderly person. A man, mashallah, still alive, approximately 80 years old, his wife also alive. A very, very rich man he was, very rich person in Sham. My friend mentioned this person to me many months ago, that we have a person here who was a very rich man. And there are many such cases. This is one I saw with my own eyes. That he owned properties, he owned farms in Syria. And because of the war, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for the Muslims there. And Allah remove the calamity that has befallen them. Because of that, he has lost everything. Now he's living in Turkey and he's living on handouts from others. He's living on support of other people, a man who was probably a multimillionaire. So he was, when we visited him, he was also bedridden, he's got some kind of ailment, but he's sitting with the tasbih, making dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I then asked, while I'm there, I asked, the old man doesn't talk too much, so the old lady, his wife must have been in her 70s. I said, give us some advice. Tell me something that I can go back home and pass on a message, you know, to our people at home. So then she asked another widow who was in the house. Another widow, Syrian lady in the house. She asked her that, why don't you say something? So there was a lot of things that woman mentioned. She gave a lengthy bayan. And mashallah, she couldn't stop all the different points she was making. But one point she said that tell the people they must maintain unity and love among the families. Don't become disunited. Don't break off ta'alluq based on small petty issues. She says this is something that we had among us. We had a lot of wealth. And we had one car, then people wanted, those who had wealth, the wealthy among us got one car, they wanted another car. We got one house, then we wanted another house. And like this, we began to waste the wealth. And because of this competition in wealth, then we broke off ties. And this, she says, we are a lesson. We are a lesson to the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used those people, whatever was the reason, Allah make it easy for them, respected friends and elders. Those that have passed away, inshallah, have got the ranks of shuhada in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah make it easy for those who gave such great sacrifice, we can't even think, we can't even dream of, respected friends and elders. But she says that we are suffering. We are undergoing this test on the side of Allah. But the world should take lesson from us, so that this doesn't befall them. And she mentioned this specifically. What? Maintain ta'alluq. Maintain the relationships. Keep the love and muhabbat in the family. Don't become cut up. Don't break your relationships based on small indifferences. Whatever it may be, respected friends and elders, it cannot match up with the relationship that Allah has put between us. Especially in family. Maintaining family ties is a separate long topic on its own, respected friends and elders. In brief, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that person who will maintain ties, join up ties with his family, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will join up ties with him. Meaning Allah will keep him in a good condition. Allah will shower him with mercy. Allah will attend to his affairs. And that person who will cut off ties with his family, that person who breaks family ties, Allah breaks off ties with him. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deprive a person like that from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah give us tawfiq, respected friend and elders, of implementing these few suggestions and few advices. Allah give me tawfiq and Allah accept. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq of spending tonight and every other odd night in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and give us tawfiq of cleaning the heart of malice and jealousy, ill feelings, respected friends and elders. If we have wronged someone, then take up that courage. Take up the courage and go up and ask that person to forgive us. We will get the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made special dua. Rahim Allahu abdan. May Allah have mercy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shower mercy on that person who kanat li akhihi indahu mazlimatun. That person who committed wrong on his brother. The Nabi of Allah is making dua. If somebody was a zalim, he was a zalim, he committed zulm on his brother, but, and that zulm had got to do fi irdin aw mal, whether it was regarding that person's dignity, he spoke ill of him, he spoke badly to him, disrespectful to him, aw malin, or with regards to his wealth, he usurped somebody's wealth. And then he goes up to him and he absorbs himself here in this dunya. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes dua that may Allah have mercy on that man. Special dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on the other hand, respected friends and elders, if a person does not absolve himself, then he will not get the dua, rather he will be deprived of the mercy of Allah. Like we understand in the other ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah, allahumma wa bihamdika.